Today we want to think on the subject, why tragedy? Or in other words, why do tragedies happen? In the middle of the 1990s, there was the Oklahoma City bombing, and a man named Dwayne Miller was a survivor of that bombing, and he recalled, he said, "Everything was the blackest black you can imagine, and I didn't hear any noise, but I could feel the force of the air carrying me, and I knew that I was flying in the air. I could hear the sound of those concrete floors collapsing on each other right around me. When the floor noise stopped, the only other thing I could hear was the sound of one man calling for help." David Cohen's recent pictorial book, Requiem for the Heartland, the Oklahoma City bombing, ascribed the killing blast an act of the devil. The blood of the victims, 149 adults and 19 children, stained the rescue workers' clothing and the streets. Some people were never found. It was as if they vanished in the incinerating heat of that bomb. How could anyone do such a horrible thing as to activate the timer of that explosion? Yes, Wednesday, April 19th, 1995, at 9 o'clock, was a terrible tragedy. Ironically, it was on the exact same day, April 19th, that David Koresh and his followers died at Waco, Texas. Remember, many children died there too. David Koresh's skull was found shattered, indicating a suicide. Think of the children enduring the stench of their days quarantined inside, and finally, the flames. Again, what a tragedy. And the world and America today is experiencing many tragedies. So why so many tragedies? People have a tendency to blame God, and others sincerely in a quandary ask innocently, why? Why do these things happen? There are some reasons we can understand, even though we live in a world, as someone has said, that is hemorrhaging with problems. However, whether or not we can understand, every Christian who really cares about reaching the lost must utilize even the worst tragedy to share Jesus Christ's message of love and concern, and most importantly, of salvation. Jesus is the balm of Gilead. How can the world be comforted in their wounds if we don't tell them, if we don't help them to understand about tragedy? Well, here are some reasons why there are tragedies. First of all, sin is ever present in our world. Sin is ever present in our world. In Romans 3, 23, we read, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." A clearer understanding is that we have all missed God's mark of perfection and God's standard of righteousness. Our world is reeling out of God's order and plan, and some tragedies are directly linked to people who make choices motivated by sin. The results are devastating. Yes, there is a social consequence to sin. Simply, our sin will and can affect others. The opposite is also true. Our living in order and obedience and godliness can righteously affect and motivate those that are around us. Now, secondly, Satan is real and very much at work. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we read, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." I agree with Mr. Cohen's appraisal that the Oklahoma City bombing was an act of the devil. Just as God uses people available and obedient to him, likewise, Satan uses individuals who are available and obedient to him. The devil has many tricks and tools in his treasure box of tragedy. Jesus' ministry faced an intense satanic assault, as we see in Matthew 4. If we are doing anything effective for God, we will also experience opposition from the devil. We are in a spiritual warfare. But there are many places and people where there is no battle, and that is because Satan has already won and has control of their lives. He is already in control, and often he uses these people to inflict harm upon others. And then thirdly, the reason there's tragedies, it's for God's ultimate purpose to be accomplished. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we read this, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." How many times have we looked back at a major disappointment or tragedy that we experienced in our lives and commented, "It wasn't enjoyable at the time, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me"? Only God can take our disappointments and turn them into his appointments or blessed times. Even when we are negatively impacted by the evil deeds of someone else, God has an ultimate greater plan of good in his design for our lives. What a comfort that is. During Charles Spurgeon's ministry, his wife was ill for an extended period of time. He often sat by her side in their bedroom, occasionally a knot in a log in the fireplace would whistle as the flames were burning about it. Spurgeon said this, that sometimes God allows us to cry out in the anguish of our problems and adversities to form his character within us. So, fourthly, tragedies can be a wake-up call to the church to be revived. In Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, we read this, And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Historically, some of the greatest revivals in the Christian church have come during times of adversity. Typically, a comfortable church does little for the Savior. And as we read Revelation 2 and 3, we see that churches in Smyrna and Philadelphia were the only two that were commended, and those two experienced much adversity. When tragedy occurs, God intends for believers to step into action. It may involve some some social action, but even more, we must give forth the gospel and urge people to turn to Christ. Often people come to Christ in the face of tragedy, but they will not hear and respond if we don't speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then fifthly, someday God's secrets will be known. Now we must live by faith. In Habakkuk 2 verse 4, we read, The just shall live by faith. The prophet Habakkuk was overwhelmed with the question why there was evil in Judah, and God was using evil Babylon as a rod of correction for his own people, the people of Israel. So Habakkuk wondered, why, God, why? The Lord had a classic response for Habakkuk, and one that will give us great comfort if we let it sink into our lives. The just shall live by faith. Someday we will know, but now let's take every experience in life of faith. When there is a death, Jesus cares, and we must accept it by faith. We sometimes ask, why him or why her? But we must accept it by faith. Back in 2007, my first wife, Cheryl, died and went to be with the Lord. And I could have asked, well, why, God, why? But we have to accept it by faith. And when there is an automobile accident or a suicide or a murder, Jesus cares, and his love can bring comfort and healing to us in any situation. So we need to trust him. We need to share Jesus Christ with someone, anyone near us who is hurting from a recent tragedy. Someone wrote this, and many a rapturous minstrel among the sons of light will say of their sweetest music, I learned it in the night. And many a rolling anthem that fills the Father's home sobbed out its first rehearsal in the shade of a darkened room. Yes, tragedies happen, and someone said, God often digs wells of joy with the spade of sorrow. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, we read this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now notice, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now how could Jesus be headed for the cross and experience everything that he would experience, all the pain and agony and suffering, and face that with joy? How could he do it with joy? Because he knew that by experiencing that, there would be many people that would repent of their sin and receive Jesus as their personal Savior. He knew that was necessary for the salvation of multitudes. And so that brought great joy to his heart, even though he knew that he would experience great suffering. So we never know, as far as what we know, we never know what's all going to take place during tragedies. But we need to remember that God allows them, and we need to accept them by faith and seek to honor the Lord and seek to be a witness regardless of what happens in our life. Tragedies happen, and they are happening very often in our world today. But we need to live for the Lord and live a godly, Christ-like life that others might be able to see that there's something different about us. We're a godly person and we're not filled with sorrow and agony because of what's taking place. May God help us to live for Him. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you for this time we've had in your word. And Father, we know that even though we face many tragedies in the world today, we are to live a godly, Christ-like life, one that pleases you and one that is a witness to those that are about us. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.